Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want to talk to you today about perfectionism versus excellent. How many of y'all don't think you're perfect? Raise your hand. How many of y'all don't think the person next to you is perfect? Come on, do a little Blake Shelton on them, right? All right, nobody's perfect. I mean, come on. We actually waste a lot of our time being miserable when we think that everything should be absolutely perfect. A few years ago, Nicole took me to the Leaning Tower of Pizza. Can I get an amen for pizza? And there's a picture there of me standing outside of it trying to hold it up, as you can see clearly on the screen there. And I'm holding it up just saying, oh my gosh, what's going on? And if you know the story, they told us, 840 years later, that thing's still leaning. They built the second floor and the third floor, and they took us in it. Then they said when they got up past the third floor, all of a sudden a war happened. This war that took place actually knocked them out of commission, and they couldn't do any construction on it for 100 years. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that. 100 years? That's a long time. That's longer than your grandma's been alive. I mean, that's a long, long time. 100 years, they couldn't do anything because the foundation had kind of fallen over, and then they had other things to happen. They said to us that day that they believed that perhaps if they had started construction and continued with it, they would have never finished, and the reason why is because the ground needed to settle. Do you know that maybe the thing in your life right now maybe actually needs to settle? I mean, the divorce just happened, or the financial setback just happened, and now, I mean, the ground is settling. You think we're ready to get back in a relationship, and you may be, but it might be better just to wait just for a minute. If it's God today, it's God tomorrow. And for sure, understand this. This place that she took me was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we travel for hours and hours. It's like in Timbuktu. But a million people a year come, and they're actually the town, very small town, is only subsidized by their tourism. See, the thing that you think is actually going to make you bad, if it was straight, and we'd have never went to see it. There were a lot of buildings that were straight and perfect, and we passed them, but we all had to go take our picture next to this building that was imperfect, that wasn't right. My question to you today is, are you too OCD about being perfect? I mean, I want my face to be right. I want my nose to be right. And I'm all for plastic surgery. Everybody ought to say amen to that. I mean, I'm all for it. If you got the money, you can fix it. How many of y'all know you can be smart or you can be ugly? I'd rather be smart because then you can make money and you can fix it. Come on, somebody help me right now. You know what I mean? And so I think Joan Rivers said that she had had so much plastic surgery done, she was going to donate her body to Tupperware. That's what she said, not what I said. So, I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to improve yourself, but don't sit there and totally knock yourself all the time. The Bible tells this in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. There's only one chapter there in Philemon, and it's actually one of my favorite verses. It says, acknowledge every good gift that's in you. Check it out. Acknowledge every good thing that's in you. In other words, don't even acknowledge the bad stuff. Not that we shouldn't improve, but I think sometimes we overamplify the thing that we think is wrong with us. So therefore, if we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, it's kind of hard to love our neighbor if we don't love ourselves. Have you ever been like me and you didn't even like you at certain times? You're like, I don't even like me. I wouldn't tell anybody that, but I've overreacted to a scenario, been mean to somebody, and I thought, man, I don't like my behavior at all. But the Bible said, hey, the best way to be better is to make sure that you start thinking better. And start thinking better, you got to, I always say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Yeah, you're not perfect, but acknowledge every good gift is in you. It triggers something on the inside of you. It releases endorphins. And if you start taking pride in what God created, which is you, yes, not perfect, yes, leaning, but people just want to see you. And then you have to have a little thing called confidence and Godfidence. I want to talk about the difference. Confidence and Godfidence. I mean, confidence is something probably you're born with or not born with. In fact, I've noticed that guys don't struggle as much with confidence as girls. Guys can look like they're 9 months pregnant, still think they're too sexy for their shirt. Come on, somebody like, yeah, baby, I think she likes me, I'm hot. It's like, no, dude. It's like, I still wear a 34. Yeah, but not around your belly. You're a 44, doc, okay? But they won't admit it. But a girl will be like, I can't because I'm looking at the stuff at the counter and it says that I have to be a 10. And I got to be Photoshopped. And so they overanalyze oftentimes every scenario. A guy will be like, I can run that company. You're like, you can't even read. And a girl will be like, no, I need to find out, am I the right person? Have I studied the right amount? Then I got to be a good mom and I got to be a good teacher and I got to be a good wife. And they overanalyze it. And the fact is, sometimes we borderline on perfectionism. And the only one perfect is Jesus, and they killed him, all right? So we need to understand that Jesus now is giving this perfect life so that you and I could enjoy life and freedom, knowing that, guess what? In our weakness, God is made strong. So yeah, there's things about us that we're not proud of, but we need to have confidence and confidence to understand that we're the best at what we do. And even if you're not, confidence helps a lot. I'm so confident. How many of y'all notice I have two different shoes on? Raise your hand if you got two. Been driving you crazy, right? You're like, oh my gosh, what's up with that? You know, I mean, there are parts of LA where this is actually popular. A friend of mine, Earl McManus, he pastors, like, if I named him all movie stores, it'd be crazy. And he actually does this a lot. It's just kind of a fashion thing. You know, Missouri is not ready for this. Last night I was preaching, and the pastoral assistant's texting, like, should I ask him or not? And then finally she said, sir, I just want to let you know, I texted somebody before I even asked you, like I was blow up or something, you know. You got on two different shoes, and I just want to make sure you're aware of that. And I'm like, hey, you know what, as I get older, I definitely want you to bring this up, because it could be for real, but it was planned. Back to that Leaning Tower of Pisa. I like to shop a lot. Nicole doesn't shop at all. I love shopping. In fact, my prayer language, the first thing I said was shop a lot, shop a lot. I mean, I love to shop. And so I was shopping when we were on vacation, because that's what I love to do. And I bought two real cool tennis shoes. They were both black. But in this dark hotel in the morning, and it was early and I hadn't had my coffee yet, I picked up two of the wrong shoes. They didn't match at all. So we were there in that picture. I've got two wrong shoes on and don't know it. I'm confident, man. I'm having a great day. Me and Nicole getting this horse and buggy, and the guy's like, oh, I see that you have two different kind of shoes on. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. But see, if I didn't have confidence, I'd be like, oh my gosh, now I'm embarrassed, I'm trying to hide. No, just rock that. I'm here to tell you that a lot of times in life, there's something that's different about you than the other side of you. And there might be part of your personality you like and part of your body you don't like, but you need to have the confidence to go up in front of thousands of people today and preach and go, hey, right one, left one. Come on, somebody. Look, I haven't screwed that up. Right one. I'm a homeschool. Right one. Come on, somebody help me. Left one, right? So you got to be confident. But if you're not cautious, you don't acknowledge all the good things in your life, and now you're not just confident, you lack confidence. See, young single moms do this. They say, man, nobody's going to want me because I got a kid. Look, flip the script on them and be like, I might let you be my baby daddy. But first you got to take me out to eat. Come on, somebody. And then I need to go to the pool at the gym and go swimming. And guess what? I don't wait 10 minutes till I swim. I eat while I'm swimming. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. When Nicole and I went on the first date, she told me, God is my witness, I eat dessert first. And she ate dessert first. And she said, I'm not one of those girls that don't eat. And she'll tell you, I'm not saying this about her, she'll tell you, she eats twice the amount of food I do. She's got a metabolism that's absolutely crazy. I mean, I have to distract her like a bull to keep her away from the groceries. I mean, she loves to eat. She rocked that. She said, I got a son. His name's Austin. He was a mistake in the back seat of a car when I was 18 on prom. And guess what? That mistake that she thought was a mistake is actually a message. He's pastoring today in Florida at a church, come on, somebody, that we started. And then guess what? I wanted to make sure that somehow, talking about confidence right now, that I gave her the confidence to say, he's not a mistake. He's great. I love him. In fact, I love your baby daddy. That was hard for me 20 years ago. Because when I saw him, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's that guy that had sex with my wife. Got real, y'all. I saw you guys at the movies last night. I went and saw a movie last night. I saw half of you, and you act like you ain't never heard the word sex. Come on, somebody. I saw the nursery. It's packed, you perverts. You're having sex all the time. And I talk about it for 1 second. Okay. Then I realized, wait a minute. That guy didn't have sex with my wife. He had sex with his girlfriend, which isn't right. However, that's not my problem. So I always told Austin, confidence says, you got two dads. And you know one of the greatest things in my life has been? This Thanksgiving, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw it. Guess what? Me and the baby daddy and the children that he had with his new baby mama and then the child that I had with the baby mama, Austin's mama. We all went on vacation. And we all stood and stayed at the same hotel, and we all went out to eat. And at the end of the trail, Austin sent me a text and said, Papa, you're the best dad in the world, that you would embrace my dad after 20 years, and I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I'm not saying it's about me. I'm saying it's about Jesus, and I'm just trying to tell you something. Don't be mean to baby daddy. Do I need to start on baby mama or can I leave this alone? Come on, somebody. Okay, so we're all, nobody's got a perfect marriage. Nobody's got a perfect life. All we have is our life, and perfectionism keeps us back. The Bible said, acknowledge every good gift. Acknowledge every good gift that's on the inside of you, and instead, we obsess on the bad stuff. Michael J. Fox said, I'm very careful not to confuse excellence with perfectionism. Very, very deep word. You can be excellent, but if you're trying to be perfect, you're just going to make yourself miserable and everybody around you. Philippians 3, verse 12. Are you so foolish, having begun this thing of the Spirit, that you are now being made perfect in the flesh? God's like, okay, so now that you're a Christ follower, you went to church, and maybe you're new here today, and you're Catholic or Baptist or Methodist, and you're like, what is this church? People ask me that. What faith is this? I never wanted the labels to limit us. So the Catholics didn't want me when I started, for obvious reasons, because I liked girls, and then you know, to get married, and then, I mean, not girls, a girl. Come on, somebody, I want to be married. And then the Baptists didn't want me because I was kind of like, ha! And then the Pentecostals didn't want me, and the Assemblies didn't want me, so we just started it ourselves. And then now they wanted us when we got really big, and I'm like, no thanks, bye Felicia, we got here by ourselves, so we are not going to allow labels to limit us. So if you're Baptist, hey, you're welcome. Come on, somebody. If you're Methodist, you're welcome. If you're Lutheran, you're welcome. If you're Charismaniac, you're just welcome. We built this church for you. But I'm here to tell you right now that should you become a Christ follower and come to church, don't do that religious thing where all of a sudden now you're perfect. That you want to come to church and be like me? That's a pharisaical spirit of perfectionism that's wrong. Should you begin this thing in the Spirit and then try to end it in the flesh? God forbid. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, they'll put it on the screen for you. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect. Everybody shout, perfect. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, the weakness gives God glory. See, if Nicole hadn't had Austin, I wouldn't have a story. If I hadn't been divorced, I wouldn't have a story. If I hadn't been betrayed by my mom, I wouldn't have a story. If I hadn't been divorced, I wouldn't have a story. If my dad hadn't died of cancer, I wouldn't have a story. Every one of my messages, all of my imperfect life, I just put it on display. And then here's a really good thing that I like to do. Make yourself of no reputation. If you were here Tuesday night, there was an 8-time Grammy Award winner on the stage with me. His name's Israel Houghton, and phenomenal, and he made a mistake. If you Google his name, man, is it ever nasty. He done some really stupid stuff, and then saw a woman that wasn't his wife and was sleeping with her, and then ended up marrying Adrian, who's from, I forget the name of the show, what is it, The Real Every Day. She was a cheetah girl, remember her? And so, like, but while all this was going on, because I had no reputation, I was still Israel's friend. I go, dang it, but I love you. He who without sin cast the first stone. So like me, Stephen Furtick, and John Gray were the preachers who really pulled him close and just loved him. So he goes from this mansion to like a little apartment this size, and I still loved him. Then now he's wanting to get back in it because God's done a restoration process in his life and so on. And so I stood on the stage, and part of what I wanted to do, because I didn't make myself of any reputation, I was able to say, I've been your friend, I'll always be your friend, and told the world, I love Israel Houghton and I stand behind him. And I'm telling you, the only way you can do that in this business is make yourself in a reputation. Because with me, not a lot of preachers would come up here in a hoodie. I'm having a heavy day because I ate a lot of popcorn last night at the theater. I went to saw Insta Family. You should go see it, it's hilarious. So the only problem is Ashton wants to adopt 4 kids today, but that's the only problem with the movie. But I'm going to wear my hoodie. Felt like this would prove a point. I made myself a no reputation. So you might see me at you flip on a pay-per-view fight, and Michael Chandler over there, so proud of you. Him and his wife raised an incredible champion. Chandler's killing it. So I might be in Las Vegas next to a ring, and me and Nicole and 4 girls, naked girls, and Michael's up there and it's got a blast on the chest, and we're preaching the gospel and we're helping people. Most preachers be like, oh my God, I can't be caught there. No, I'm proud of Michael. I think Michael's doing his space in his lane, doing what God told him to do. He's a Jefferson County boy, come on somebody, who did good, and we ought to all celebrate it. So don't judge people. Love people. Have the confidence to know that maybe God called them to do something that he didn't call you to do. God's blessing and favor and grace is made perfect in your weakness. I noticed this about myself. I noticed this about a lot of people. We get real cocky real quick when we forget about our weakness. And then when we're reminded of something stupid that we have done, that'll bring you right down. Sure got quiet in here. I feel so alone right now. I am not alone. You are here with me. Won't you say amen so I can preach freely? Because I feel so... Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Say amen or something. So here we go. Confidence. Everybody shout confidence. Now let's go. Another scripture I want to go to, a good one here, is James 1:17. James 1:17. Big shout out to all the volunteers who are going to be serving all day, even under the tree tonight. Come on, they've been working so hard. It's tonight, under the tree. Bring your friends. Every good gift and perfect, we're talking about perfectionism, is from above. It comes down. It's not here going up. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from above. God's going to do this thing in your life, and it's going to come from God. That's why the local church is so important. That's why small groups are so important. You might be new to the church even, but as soon as possible, go through growth track today, upstairs. Connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, make a difference. And you get around the right people, you'll be able to ask the right questions, and then you get the right results. Because a lot of times, what God's wanting to do in you actually happens through other people. So you got to get confidence back. I have a guy that comes to church, and he's talking to me this week, and he's very successful. Owns a huge business in town. Very, very wealthy guy. I never really knew him. I knew he goes to church here, but I don't know his life. But now I know why he's so successful, because he needed to prove something to his dad. Because he wrote me this long letter. He basically said, my dad, in front of his friends, called me my name. Like he was proud of me. In the back room where we lived, he called me no good mother, blah, blah. In fact, he'd take my glasses off when I would help him build things around the house so he could punch me in the face. It wouldn't break my glasses. I live with this abuse every day of my life. Still to this day, he calls me da-da-da-da. So he's been working his whole life to get the affirmation from his dad. Here's my advice to him, and I haven't responded yet, but I will. But here it is. I'm counseling everybody at the same time. You may never get the affirmation from your dad, but you will get the affirmation from your father, who says you're uniquely and wonderfully made. You're created in the image of God. And just because your dad called you that doesn't mean your father called you that. He said this. He said that. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. He said, hey, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Maybe your daddy had issues, and now he carried those issues over to you, because he didn't have this kind of freedom that comes from God, ultimately. But I found out that you're most like God, and you'll hear more of God when you go to God's house. So if you stay away from God and you get all your information from the world and Oprah, and I love Oprah, but I wouldn't get my spiritual guidance from her, okay? I wouldn't get it from Dr. Phil. He's smart. Dr. Oz. In fact, he's a neighbor of mine in Florida. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't get it from those people. I would get it from a local house where God's word is being taught, and then I'd bring your kids here. Come on, somebody. And raise them in the atmosphere of God, because I promise you, if you'll stick with this, your life will change, because you'll have confidence mixed with confidence, and then the rest of your life will be the best of your life. But again, if you're judging it on what dad said to you, then you're going to be hosed. And I believe that everybody has daddy issues, even my daughter. I hate to admit it, but she probably does. She's never even gotten me a world's greatest dad shirt from Walmart. I don't understand. Acknowledge every good gift. Get your confidence from God. Get around the right people. And then do not allow what you did to become the focus of your life. You're not what you did, you're what you do. I want you to write that down. You're not what you did, you're what you do. Anybody like me and you, if you don't work out, you eat bad. If you eat bad, you don't work out. Anybody like me, if you work out right, you'll eat right. Raise your hand. How many of y'all wouldn't raise my hand no matter what I ask you today? Okay, so we tend to do that. Every step towards order brings peace. You ever notice when you clean your car, you're like, I feel good. Clean your closet, you feel good. It was a step towards order. When you come to church, you feel good because it's a step towards order. It's that God in you saying, people are lost. They're dying. They're going to hell. You're a change maker. You're blessed. God's doing big things in your life. You're not what you did. You're what you do. So guess what? You might look a little different, but don't allow your outward appearance. We're going there now. Don't allow your outward appearance to determine your future. So let's talk to girls for a minute. I was talking to a girl the other day that was very insecure about the way she looked. Madonna didn't let a mole or split teeth keep her back. David Letterman didn't let it keep him back. T.D. Jakes didn't let it keep him back. Marilyn Monroe, Paul Abdul didn't let it keep him back. Don't allow anything that is outward to affect you. Just realize that that might be unique to you. So there's a uniqueness to you when God created you in His image. No two are the same. In fact, your thumbprint is different. You do the crime, you do the time, based on this. Your DNA is uniquely different. So your call is different. So that's why you can never ever, you can model the behavior of someone successful, but you will never be totally them. That's why I hate it when people say, I don't like it when people say, you're just like your dad, you're just like your mom, you're just like your brother. No, there's no two people alike. So don't allow anybody to pigeonhole you. You are created in the image of God. Whatever you have, black, white, yellow, big, short, tall, the devil will always say that disqualifies you. You rock what you got for Jesus, and you go with confidence and confidence and enjoy your life. Come on, somebody ought to give God good praise today. So these girls are like, nobody has asked me out. Hey, man, it's 2018. Yeah. Girls can ask guys out now. Yeah. So you just look at a guy and go, you? And then he walks over and he's got bad breath. You're like, get a Tic Tac, come back and talk to me. Okay? You don't have to wait. Now, there is a waiting that comes from God. Sometimes God will block somebody because He wants to do something great in your life, and you might go through a season where you're just a little bit lonely. Now, there's a scripture that I'm looking for, and I don't know because I've preached so much already today. I don't know if I've given you this, but it won't hurt you to get it again if I did. James 1, verse 4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have its perfect. We're talking about perfectionism. That you might be complete, perfect and complete. Patience is big time important. I want you to write this down. If it's God today, it's God tomorrow. So y'all are microwave people like me. I want it now. I want it now. Any microwave people in here? You're like, I want it now. Not like you enjoy food for the microwave, but let's try this again. How many of y'all want, any drive-thru is too slow for you? It's like, I really want a drive-thru that I drive through, I open up my moonroof, and you throw it in there because I'm in a hurry. But we have this microwave idea, but we serve a crockpot. God, He's taking time to do something in you. And so make sure that you don't run out too quickly and try to make a relationship happen, because you know what? I'm not against you asking somebody out. Go for it. But make sure it's God's timing. And then make sure that you don't rush right into relationship, especially if you're super young. I want to talk to really young people for a minute. If you're 15 or 16, it's very important to me as a spiritual dad that you don't just say, I'm in love. Because I watch people all the time get married really young, and then they find out that they weren't in love, they were in lust. And I've been in both, so I'm very familiar with it. Love is when it doesn't matter what they look like, and I love them, and I mean, I just love you. Like, no matter what Nicole does, no matter what she looks like, whatever, it doesn't matter. I love her. Not based on her performance or who she is. I adore this woman, okay? It's not, but I have been in lust. Or we're like, oh, man. Y'all don't like that from your preacher, but I'm just here to tell you. It's real. Come on, someone. I'll make love to you like you want. It got starchy. Y'all sitting on me a little bit. Put on your red dress. Let all your hair down. Let's get it on. Y'all cool right now? Come on. I can go deeper if you want me to. Feel that religious thing. But make sure when you're very young that you don't rush into a relationship. I would advise everybody in here to date around a little bit. I don't mean do anything inappropriate. Keep yourself. Save yourself. If you like it, then you see how to put it. Uh-huh. So make sure that you know what you're talking about. Because you might find out that the guy that you think you're in love with, he's absolutely incredible. He's your guy. But you wouldn't have known how awesome he was until you dated Bubba, and Bubba wouldn't open the door for you. Bubba asked for you to pay for your own supersize. Well, I'll do it, but not supersize. And you got to add more value to the meal. Then you'll know this guy was a good guy. Somebody ought to say amen right now. I'm covering everybody. So let's recap. I got 5 minutes to fix this. Make sure if your dad called you something, look to your father. How do you know that? Come to church and then get in a small group. Small groups. Okay? That's where it's at. Then make sure, young people, that you have the confidence to get around the right group again. Make sure, older people, you raise your kids in church. Stand up, Destiny Anna. Let everybody see you. Where's Brinks at? I don't know where Brinks is at. But this guy, this girl right here, she was at the church. Come here, Brinks. Run up the stage real fast. Take your earphones off and come here. I'll show you guys something. So she was 15, and she was at my church. And so this kid here moves from Philippines. Barely speaks English. Oh, Pastor David, I love you so much. I want to go to church. I'm a drum. Okay. So then he comes to church all the time, serves all the time. He's in the youth band all the time. She's at church all the time. Destiny is 15. They're young. And so guess what? I see them growing up. I'm watching them grow up. We're keeping them right before the Lord. They're making the right decisions. And next thing you know, they're in church all the time. All their dates are at church, right? Now God blesses him. He's in a bad situation, moves from the Philippines, doesn't have a place to live. We help him get a place to live and so on. Then he doesn't have a car. And then Steve Smith and his family. Is Steve here? No, I don't know. Steve's probably somewhere in the world preaching. Steve's a missionary. Steve said, I'm trading my car in. I'm in the Philippines. I'm just getting ready to go back to the Philippines and preach. What should I do with my car if I give it to the church? You want it? I said, yes. I have a son of choice is what I call him. And I said, I'll give it to him. So he's at work at the church because now he's worked at the church so long, he's there. And so we have a staff meeting and I said, hey, we're going to go out to the parking lot. We go out and we said, oh, look, son of choice, Steve's here. He's going to go to the Philippines, but he has something he wants to give you. And so he's like, oh, and he cries. But guess what? Now she got her a man with a car. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. See, now they're going on dates, but they're doing it right with God. They're going to church all the time. And then one day, I remember you guys were standing out there in the lobby, and I said, when are you guys going to get engaged? He's like, I don't have the money for the ring. And guess what? Now they've been married how long? A year and a half?
A year and a half.
That's what love looks like. All right, go put your earphones back on. Come on, give it up for the kids. I'm just here to tell you, raise your kids in church. Raise your kids in church. Raise your kids in church. You go to church. If you don't go to church, they're not going to go to church. If you don't go to a small group, they won't go to a small group. If you don't raise your kids to acknowledge God, they won't acknowledge God. And then the world will be jacked up with more people that don't know how to give God to people because there aren't. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. God said, I'm coming back after a glorious church. Not after a perfect church, but a blood-bought church of Jesus that is reaching people, whether it's in a fighting ring, whether it's in a law firm, whether it's at Whole Foods. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. We need to use our life, perfect, imperfect, jacked up, whacked up for Jesus. Go in the strength that you have. Be bold. Ask her out. You're not what you did. You're what you do. God created you and no weapon formed against you will prosper. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. You can be seated.
How many of y'all going to invite your friends under the tree? That's a good thing. I do want to ask you this, though, as we go. How many of y'all raise your hand and say, man, that really, I feel better about myself than I did when I came in, raise your hand. How many of y'all like me and you struggle sometimes with the perfectionism, man? That's really unhealthy. None of us are perfect. And God's working on the inside of us and through us and to us to do big things in our life. I want permission to pray for you and you online right now. If you'll just allow me to bow your heads and I want to pray for you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're doing something on the inside of each and every person that's here in this building right now. God, there's a supernatural anointing that only comes from you that can heal our soul. God, we realize today more than ever that we need to bring our kids to church and we need to bring ourselves to church. And my goodness, we've got to get in a small group. That's where we're only as sick as our secrets. We got to be around other people that can bring out what with a feeling that we had today of confidence and confidence. And without that, those right people around us, we're going to have the wrong inputs. And if what's coming into us is wrong, what's going out of us will be wrong. And God, I pray right now that we'll use our life to change people's lives. God, that we certainly would not allow just fear to keep us back from inviting our friends. And I sense right now there's some of you that for a long time, you haven't invited your friends to church. And God's dealing with me to tell you, do that.
This is the season where if people are asked, they come to church. And you know this church has changed your life. Why would you hold it back? You need to release that opportunity into others. God, we thank you and praise you for what you have done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Be seated for 1 minute as you watch this.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.